everyone, welcome to another episode of Chica Travel. My name is Lelo B, and this week on the show, my friend Lerato is back, and we are talking about our experience planning and taking part in group travel. I love group trips, and I love traveling with different people to different places because I kind of feel like it enriches my experience, and it's also a nice way for me to meet people and make new friends. To be honest, a lot of the people I travel with, I meet for the first time at the airport. Yes, I know. It's a bit risky because things can go wrong, but I am all for it. Disclaimer. So this past weekend, I hosted a few of my friends for a visit to Tsitsikamma in the Garden Route, and it was such an amazing experience, guys. It was my second time going to Tsitsikamma. And, you know, I'm still feeling like I would go back there over and over again because it truly is an amazing place to visit. So getting there, we flew to George and drove about 2 hours to get to our accommodation, which was at Storms River Mouth Rest Camp inside the Tsitsikamma section of the Garden Route National Park. Like, that place is nice because you can, if you want to, you know, go with your tent to camp, if you're one of those people, you can do that. If you've got a caravan, you can also bring your caravan. If you want to book one of the units, there's like different types of, you know, family cottages and different types of accommodation actually for you to book inside the camp. And it's really, really cheap. I think it starts from like 300. I know the place that we stayed at, it starts at like 300 for two people and so on. So that's not expensive at all. I think you should definitely go and check it out. I mean, it was my first time staying inside the park, so I was a little worried about what the accommodation was going to be like, you know, accommodation snobs. But to my surprise, it was, you know, it was clean, it was basic, but it was really comfortable, and we enjoyed our stay there. So you can go to my IG to check out, you know, where we stayed and so on. But I think with all these news about the new variant and countries closing their borders on us, and you know, simply because of something that we are not responsible for, we at least have our country so we can, you know, try and explore that in the meantime. The highlight of this trip though to Tsitsikamma was doing the Kayak and Lilo experience. I don't know if it's Lilo or Lilo, but it's Kayak and Lilo experience, which is about a 2-hour tour in the Storms River. Please Google this or just go to my page to see all about this experience. And you know, the one question that I get a lot about it is whether you need to be able to swim to do this, but that is not a requirement. There is a safety briefing, you know, with the guides before you go on, and you do this also wearing your life jacket, and there are guides that are with you on the tour. So it's really not that hectic unless you have like a deep, deep, deep fear of water, then maybe you might struggle. But other than that, it's easy and doable, and you will love it. I was actually saying that I might just do this as an annual trip, you know. That's just how beautiful it is. So yeah, definitely something worth ticking off if it's on your bucket list. And you know, this place, this Garden Route, is just one of the many beautiful places in South Africa. And I know, you know, at this time, people that had plans to leave the country for December are now scrambling for what it is that they can do locally, seeing that flights are getting cancelled all over the place. For me, I'm planning a weekend trip to Moors sometime during December. So keeping my fingers crossed that they don't ban us, because I really, really do want to go back to Vilankulu and just enjoy the Indian Ocean, guys. Yo, is there anything more beautiful than the Indian Ocean? I can't think of something. So yeah, fingers crossed for that one. Please say your prayers that I get to go. So I think if you're wondering what else is there to do in SA this December, I would advise that you also consider checking out Fly Center, who are this episode sponsors, to see what packages they have available for local trips. There's quite a lot available there, and I think it's also best to find, you know, those areas where you can kind of just stick to your travel group and not mix with a lot of people outside of that, because safety is of utmost importance given that the numbers, COVID numbers, are going up. And on that group travel note, here's my conversation with Lerato. It is powered by Flight Center. Enjoy.
Hello,
Hello, Lerato. Welcome back to the Chica Travel Podcast.
Thank you. I'm back. I come back.
Regular, resident.
A resident co-podcaster. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy it. So thank you for the invite.
Awesome. So today we want to talk about group travel. And this is something mm-hmm. that you and I love. We enjoy this type of travel as much as we like, you know, traveling with. Actually, I think you do more group travel than any other type of travel, right?
You know what? I was actually telling my friends that, you know what? I think I am group traveled out, saying your vacations.
You and me, again. You and me. Yo.
Because like just like 2 weeks ago, I was in Cape Town with a group, and I only had, like, 3 people there, and there were about 9 of us. And then it was the Tsitsikamma, we were all together, and then another one coming mid-December, and then we're currently planning one for end of December for New Year's Eve. So yeah, man. Group travel extraordinaire.
All the way. So we are manifesting over to 2022. It must be vacations, ne?
Vacations only. Listen.
So just on the trip that you just mentioned now, where the 9 of you went to Cape Town, how did you decide who to travel with? Like, how did that happen?
Okay, actually, I joined a group of people that I didn't know. I only knew a friend of mine there. I think she was also part of that group. So it turned out that other people canceled, so they just needed, you know, replacements. And I was like, I'm happy to go to Cape Town any day. So literally, I didn't know anyone except her. So that was quite interesting, but had so much fun. Yeah, man, you know, if you know that you're a people's person, then you easily blend with other people, even though you don't know them. You make the best of it, and, you know, that's how it happens.
And actually, on that note, just how important is it to, do you think, maybe let me ask the question differently. Do you think, like, when you are traveling with people that you do not know, that you kind of have to tone down on who you are to gel with everyone, or and not you specifically, but just in general? Or do you feel like if a person is traveling with the group, like, just be whatever and whoever you are, and with a group that you don't know?
Yeah, I think mostly it's, you just need to know yourself first of all. And if you know Uguti, you don't handle group dynamics very well, so maybe just stay clear of traveling with people you don't know. But yeah, knowing yourself and how you relate to strangers, you know, if you go to a party, are you that person that sits in the corner we want for a while, or you want a friend, or are you that person that can easily just have a conversation with people you've just met? So that's how you know. But you don't have to now change your personality. I think what I can say is that you just tone down on the expectations, because you don't go there, you know, with expecting good people will react this way, or control the group dynamics. So just go in there, you know, suss things out, and then, yeah, you take it from there. But yeah, if you don't have to lower your expectation, but just also just, you know, just suss. And just go there with a positive attitude.
Yeah, I actually don't remember being invited, like, you know, you were invited to join a group, and it's always like me joining or inviting people that don't know each other.
Yeah,
I don't know how I would be in an environment like that. I'd probably be like just the quiet one in the corner. I am quiet and shy. I think with a group of people that I don't know, I'll probably be that girl who's just quiet, and, you know, because I think I'm like that even in a group, in a group of people I know. I'm just like quiet, and I think so.
Yeah, we all think we're quiet until you just find people that you're surprised that you literally just would get along if, you know, your energies are right, you know, the right place. So it's always easier when people are also just chilled and
I think also with you know, you just mentioned energies. I'm just thinking about how when I put together like a trip like this one for Tsitsikamma, because it was not like a trip that I put out there and asked people to join. It was just me inviting specific people to come with me. I always look at the energies and look at, like, I've got friends that I know, I wouldn't invite this friend and that friend together because I don't think they're going to get along, because maybe personalities are strong and whatever. So I think that's super important if you're planning a group trip to balance out the personalities. If you've got one strong personality, you've got one person or hyper who's loud and whatever, you can't have 10 of those because, yo, I'll come back tired. So I'm can I just have one like that and then the rest by the mellow? And I don't know, I think if you want to have a good trip, you just also have to check who's traveling and kind of balance out, you know, the types of personalities that are on the trip. Because you also
I was actually telling Udisole that you're very good at that, at sussing out group dynamics. And the trips I've been with you in groups have always been amazing, because I don't know how it happens or how you decide, but like even people that didn't know each other, they just join the group and then see that everybody's just chilled and getting along. Mm-hmm. So there's no need to be uptight and isolate yourself because now you don't know everybody else. Everybody just gets on like a fire, you know, and like you've known each other for long. So. Mm-hmm. You're very good at that. Maybe it's a business, another business thing you can consider.
Maybe I should do matchmaking too.
Maybe you should do matchmaking, you know?
Tinder, here's your competition.
Hello.
Yeah, but thank you. Thank you for that. I think it's so important. I mean, I get a lot of, you know, people on social media, invite me next time. And until I kind of get a sense of the kind of person that you are, I can't just invite you on my private trips with my friends, like, you know, this one that we just said, because I don't know, unless it's like an open trip where I'm inviting different people, because they are literally taking a chance. But I just trust that the people that will want to come with me, they want to come because they like my energy and they want the same type of environment and energy and vibes. So they will then, you know, gel with whoever I'm coming with. And I kind of feel like there's a bit of open-mindedness that is required if you want to join a group trip with strangers, because there you can, anything can happen. So basically just be open-minded, and it can't all be about you and your ways, because there's, you know, lots of people involved. But anyway, thank you for that. So I want to now move on to finances and budgeting. You know, when it comes to traveling in a group, I think that's the part about deciding on the dates and where are we going, and then the budget. So in your view, what works best? Do you feel like there has to be, how does that work in your experience?
Okay, in my experience, because I have a group that like I said, for New Year's Eve we travel together. We plan in advance, obviously. We know that 31st of December we don't need to be in Joburg, you know, and we have this internal joke. We are not making chakalaka in on the 31st, please, you know, so we have to be out. So we know that. So you already in our budgets, you plan for that trip for end of the year. But for other people, it might be advisable to even start like a group savings or even a travel stock fail, you know, where every month you put aside money for a that you plan for, because also life happens. Hey, you might put money aside and then some, like an emergency comes up, and then you have to use that money for something else, and there goes your traveling plans. So I would suggest that when you know that you and your friends want to go on a trip, plan in advance, because some of us are all not lucky to just always have money lying around to just pay for a trip and, you know, get up and go. there are people like that. They can just say, Chomi, let's go.
And like then, you know. I kind of feel like you are one of those people. Like, I could just say, I want to go, and you are like, okay. And you even have my account number. You just send money to my bank account so that...
I'll send money because with me, like, I'm so stingy on everything else. Like,
bad travel.
But travel is my splurge. So I know always that I have an entertainment savings that always just to stay. And yeah, and born in December, I get my travel, my bonus in December. So I can decide if I want to use for travel or I want to save it or invest it. But there's also like, I mean, part of two stock bells and that money is purely for traveling. So, yeah.
So drinks on you in Moz.
Yes! What, you told me my birthday week, so hello.
That's going to be so awesome. Okay, no, I definitely agree with you. And I think for me, that's the one thing that I struggle with, you know, planning well in advance. And because I just want to book now and we go now. So, but I think if you definitely are planning a trip with friends, it's very important to just, you know, get it planned well in advance so that people have got time to put money aside and so on. So it's something that I'm working on, especially for group trips. I think what's the easiest way, if you are an individual and you want to plan a trip with your friends, the best thing is if you kind of know where you are. So what I've figured out is this thing of asking people, guys, shall we go somewhere? Where are we going to go? How much are we going to spend? And so I kind of feel like someone needs to decide, this is where we are going. This is how much it is. Who wants to go in? So that it cuts out the back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Because a lot of the
trips... Yeah, you literally just...
Mm-hmm.
Continue, sorry.
Now, I think a lot of the trips... you know, die at that part because now there's this back and forth and some people are tired. Some people just want to read the message that says, this is where we are going and this is how much it's going to cost and these are the dates.
Yeah, you just want to make it easy. And also the type of trip that you want to go to. Are you going to chill by the beach or are you going on an adventure trip? Like, you know what you want to do there. Mm-hmm. And then have options and don't have more than three options. Just a person who's maybe taking the lead, just have like three options. And then I always love to include links. And I'm the person that always searches for places to go to when like I'll make the example with the end of the year one. And I'll just links, I'm like, okay, here's a link, here's a link, here's a link. Let's decide on which one we're going to choose from this short list. And then eventually we just decide, okay, that's it, we're going for this one, done, let's get the money out, book, pay, and then we go.
So how do people vote? Do they just respond on the WhatsApp to say, I like this one, I like that, and then you have to count how many people like that, the one option the most, and then that's the option that wins?
Yeah, I think if everybody agrees, if most of us agree on the one, and then we'll choose that, it's as easy as that sometimes. So you don't want to have a long list of options, you know, just if you keep, and obviously if you know your friends and what they like, the type of place they like, obviously you can't choose options that won't appeal to them. So you know it must be nice, white linen, beautiful, you know, aesthetically pleasing, and then it's easy to make a decision on that. But obviously budget will always be the number one that people will look at and be like, okay, I'm okay with the budget for this one, let's go with this one. And then
Do you feel, how do you end up being the one to search for places? Do you feel like the person who says, guys, let's go away, is the one who ends up being assigned that responsibility automatically?
No, for me, I think I've learned the skill to search for accommodation and, you know, find beautiful places. So I would do it, and the other girls will also just help here and there. But I've seen that most of the time I'm the one, I don't know, maybe I just with logistics, I'm very good at that. I'm like, okay, here are the options. Here's the links, let's choose, let's do it, let's go, you know? Mm. So I think it doesn't necessarily have to be the person that's planning the trip. You can all just go on your search parties separately, and then you can come back and put down your options and not leave it to one person to decide everything.
Yeah. Do you ever, okay, I end up being the one person responsible for all of that. And yeah. I feel like sometimes I also want to be invited on trips, you know, and okay. I don't have people that invite me on trips, like friends that invite me on trips. All my friends wait for me to invite them, including you. They wait for me to invite them on trips. Yes. And I'm just like, now when do I ever get invited? It's like, if I don't plan a trip, then I will never travel with my friends. So it's so weird, because it's like, and if I do that, then I'm always the one who's responsible for planning 1, 2, 3. And I feel like Linda would love to just see travel from somebody else's planning perspective, not always when it's me, you know.
Yes.
But do you ever think about using agencies, or have you ever considered using agencies? Because when I organize like a trip where there's a whole lot of people and it requires multiple flights to this or that, like for example the Thailand trip, there were about 15 of us, and it made sense for me to use a travel agency then, because there's accommodation, definitely, there's flights, there's transfers from the airport and all of that. So it made sense to get the help of an agency. But generally, when would you consider using an agency for a trip?
Yeah, I think for overseas trips, you know, if, like you're saying, you're moving from one place to another, and like with flight transfers and all of that,
yeah,
you don't want to, especially if you haven't been to that place. So rather trust an agency with that part. And yeah, with accommodation as well, because sometimes the internet will sell you dreams and you get there and you find out, could say, this is not what I saw on the net, you know. So with the agency for those type of things. But yeah, like you said, I actually enjoy just going through Airbnb or booking.com and just going through the picture, like, oh, this is nice, okay, this one. Then you check the reviews. Always check the reviews and read what, because yeah, that will help also in making the decision. But yeah, agents for places that you may not be familiar with, and like you said, for bigger groups, you might actually just want that one place where everything is managed. And because it can be a headache. Imagine now for 16 people, if you had to do it yourself, you would have so let someone professional do that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So accommodation, now when you guys have chosen the accommodation, you did already allude to how you do it. You send people links, you know, to for them to kind of confirm and or vote for which one they prefer. But now when you get there, because there's always that main bedroom or the bedroom that's nicer than the others, and the others are not used to the bed. How do you decide who gets what room when you are there?
And also, I mean, we all paid the same price. So why now take the beautiful room that's beach facing, and you know, to take the one at the back? Obviously, that's mostly for, say, you booked a self catering house or a house, you know, and there's obviously some bedrooms will have a better view or will look better, or the main bedroom. So what we normally do, we have, there's an app that called, what is it called? Random Picker or something like that.
So, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like when you want to do draws or.
Yes. I know Random Picker. So, I'm just shocked that you use it for this.
Yes. So we'll just say, we'll put the names on the Random Picker app and we'll say, okay, we'll call this bedroom 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if there's 5 bedrooms, for example, and then let Random Picker pick the first one. The first one will take bedroom 1. Random Picker pick the second one, you know, bedroom 2, da da da. So we do it like that. The last trip we went to, it was a 4-bedroom house, and all the bedrooms had their own keys. So they were in the lounge when we arrived, and we all just grabbed the key, and whoever grabs whatever key, if
that's
it opens
your room.
Your room. But you can't be like, I'll take the main bed, Obviously, like, no, there's no obvious. Like, we all pay better than one to one.
I'm sorry, Lerato. Now, if I'm planning the trip, I'm taking the best room. Oh,
but if you're planning the trip, I get that, you know, like, you plan the trip, you've invited everyone, and you did all the work.
Yeah, I did all the searching.
By all means.
And yes. I was the one who was booking this and this and administering.
Exactly.
I'm getting the best.
So room. By all means, then that is understood. But also, yeah. I think it's the conversation that you need to have as well, because it kind of becomes a bit of a tension point. So say, for example, you're traveling with strangers. Mm. It kind of becomes a tension point on some, okay, who gets the room with the view? Mm. You know? So rather get that conversation out and be like, okay, guys, going to use the random picker, or as you say, okay, I planned the trip, so respectfully, I would like to take the, and people will understand. Mm. I mean, also, you know, like you say, when you choose people to go on a trip, they would understand and be like, oh yeah, of course, take the main bedroom. Mm. And then the rest of them, you can use random picker, or you can put names in a hat, you know, and choose. But yeah, you don't want to now have fights over, I saw this one first. No, I was here.
I actually like that. I like, you know, this idea of random picker for deciding on the rooms. Because, I mean, it can even be something that you use for, let's say I picked the main bedroom or whatever, and then the rest of the rooms, then we can use random picker or whatever. I actually quite like that. And I think, even the discussion that you're talking about, that it needs to happen before, it is actually very important, just it's so we all know important. How it's going to work, and people don't feel hard done or feel like, why do you think you're important more than us, and so on. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I actually like that, because I remember I went on a trip with a friend of mine, and she booked the thing, and there were two bedrooms. And the other one had a nice sea view. And yes. I wasn't the organizer, so she picked that room. And I actually walked in there first, and I knew, like, oh, obviously she's going to take this one because she's the one who made the booking. I didn't. Then I had to go in and walk on the other side. But I understood. And now I know next then time I travel with her,
yeah.
I'm going to be the one booking so I can get the best room.
The best room.
Yeah.
And also, I think, even if you go to likely for a hotel, if you have different rooms, then your names will be linked to the key.
Mm.
But like a nice place with different rooms, then you just grab the key card, and whichever that key card door it opens, whichever door it opens, then that just takes away from the, no, this one is mine. No, but I like this one. None of that.
Okay.
But that could actually spoil a holiday, because now you're just taking in, and now so many attention, manji, because you were eyeing this room and some like decided, no, this is my room, you know.
No, I definitely am with you. So now when it comes to itineraries, now we're all traveling in a group. Let's say there were 9 of you guys went to Cape Town. What's your view on, you know, activities and alone time and all of that? Because I feel like if there's like a group as big as 9, for us as like maybe 4 or 6 people, yes, we can kind of do activities together, you know, and we plan accordingly. But for a big group, there should be time and options for people to do different things, I think. What's your view?
Yeah, we don't have to go everywhere together, you know, because I could decide, oh, I love being in this house. It's so beautiful. I would just like to chill by the pool. And that's fine with me, because I could decide I'm using this trip to rest, you know. And there are people that would want to gallivant and do different things. So I don't think if you're in a group, and like a bigger group, like you said, we don't have to travel to everywhere together, so people can just break up in their own groups. It's easier now to move around in cities. You have Uber, you know, so it's not like we have to hire one car and now this one took the car somewhere else. So, yeah, we can just have, like, itinerary options, and people can – I would love to do that too. And then if it turns out that all of us want to go to the same place, then great.
Even better.
Then, that's even better, yeah. But, we don't all have to travel in a pack, and everyone...
Yeah, because then you feel like you're on
at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's like we're on a school trip. And I think maybe for big groups, you could even have like for during the day, these are the options. People can do whatever. But then dinner, we all have dinner together to kind of keep that group travel thing, you know. Then we can all, and even when we're having the dinner, we can all, you know, reflect on our day. Everybody's talking about what they've seen, what they saw, what they experienced. And you could actually even inspire the other people to go where you went. Because now we've seen your pictures. I get it from where you went, where we didn't go.
Right? Yeah.
So now we want to go.
That dinner idea you had actually worked for the recent trip I was on. Because every evening we would have dinner together. And that's how you now get to know people, you know, because it's just conversations on like on a dinner table, you know, and now you're sharing jokes, and that's how the group gels even more, because now you get to know, okay, this person is like this, da, da, da. Then it becomes easier and makes the trip much more enjoyable.
Okay, now this money thing, have you ever been on a trip where, because obviously we plan the flights, if there's flights, accommodation, and maybe sometimes activities, we kind of put together, you know, this is the amount. But the one thing we don't really talk about is or put a number to, is the food and drinks. So our pockets are not the same, you know?
They're not the same,
so we might want to go to a restaurant where it's kind of expensive and other people don't want to go to. Have you ever been in a situation where, you know, the person shies away from doing some stuff, activities, or going to places because they are running out of money?
Yeah. And I think, the money conversations are always hard to have, you know. And if you're in a group with your friends, you obviously probably know each other's pockets and know where to play, you know. If you like popping champagnes and buying oysters and that's your lifestyle, then you must know that maybe the next friend of yours is not a champagne popping person. And then it's an MCC, you know, and that's me, by the way. I'm not a champagne. So you kind of need to know your friends and which spaces to play. And obviously when you choose restaurants or wherever you want, then you need to know what the price range is, and speak up if you're not very comfortable and say, okay guys, that might be out of my budget, so okay, let's maybe choose another restaurant, you know. So if you're close friends, I think it's easy to have that conversation. But if you're in a group as well, I mean, just because now you don't want to have those uncomfortable money situation, especially now if the bill comes and now the bill includes the champagne bottle that you get. But now you had budgeted maybe 700 rand for dinner, and now the bill splitting comes to so much more than that. So you need to speak up and be like, okay guys, can I not pay for the champagne because I don't drink or I didn't have the champagne? You know, you have to have those conversations. And because money conversations are very uncomfortable anyway, actually.
They are a struggle. But okay.
Even in relationships, you must talk about money. Like, hey, okay, how much do you earn? Let me see your pay. Show me.
Is that how things go? No, I don't remember anymore. You ask people how much they get.
No, well, apparently when you're planning to get married, you need to know all that information. Where's the money coming from? You know, if we go broke, do we have savings? You know, things like that. Sidetrack.
Yeah. So okay, I don't know. Did we talk about Splitwise on this podcast before? Because
we have.
Yeah, I think maybe just to remind a refresher for people that missed those old episodes. I mean, when you're going out as a group at dinner, sometimes you don't want to have, you know, everybody take out their
Card
individually and so on. Did you guys use Splitwise? Maybe just to tell everyone about Splitwise. or any. Yeah, so, I mean, we're just saying, sorry, Rato. We're just saying Splitwise because it's the app that we used. There are other apps that do a similar function. So it's not to say Splitwise is a sponsored thing or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, so it's the apps that help you to, so for example, there's five of us who are on a trip. Tonight, I decide to take the bill for dinner. And then tomorrow, someone could decide to take the bill for the activities and, you know, so on and so on. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it all, the app helps you to just even out and calculate that, okay, Lerato paid 2,000 rand today. This one paid 1,000 rand. So you owe this one so much. Because you don't want to be sitting there. My cousin told me she's an accountant and she said she had an Excel spreadsheet. I was like, an Excel?
Yo.
I was like, girl, do you know how much I hate Excel? Opening Excel spreadsheet for trips. There's an app for that, you know, that just put in all the expenditure for the trips, for the dinners, for the excursions or whatever. And then at the end of the trip, then you can, the app tells you, okay, you owe this one so much.
Like, we would have all taken turns paying at different, you know,
times. So, and also if you see that maybe the bill is too much and you don't have that much in your account or whatever, then you can also split that bill with someone so that, you know, it's evened out. So apps like that. So like you said, there's one called Splitwise because we've used that one. I don't know about the other one. But yeah, there's apps that would help with all the splitting. Because now we don't want to, now you must look at the bill and be like, so I had this and that. I had so,
Yeah, that one just takes the stress out of the whole, you know, accounting thing. And the one thing about this particular app, Splitwise, is that you then have to, you all have to download it and create an account. So that you can join whatever this trip is, and then the costs get allocated accordingly. So I really, really like that, and I'm sure there's so many others that are like that. So just one other app. I mean, it's not an app, but it's Google Forms. I like Google Forms for the planning part of the trip, especially if you, let's say you have an agency that is doing the booking for you, and if there's a lot of people or one person making all the bookings, you send everybody a Google Forms link for them to put their name as they appear on their ID, their date of birth, or passport numbers. And I think most importantly, Lerato, which is something that I wonder if all the other group trips do, is next of kin details.
Next of kin details,
very important if you're traveling with a group of people to know that if something happens or you fall sick, who do we contact? You know, I think that's also information that we need to have. And once people have completed all of it, that needs to be shared with everyone on the trip. So that, because you don't know who's next of kin will need to be contacted. So we all need to have access to that list. So I just use Google Forms for that because I think it's an easy,
Yeah, that's very important. Like you said, I think we had that conversation last time. Was it the case last year? And we were like, guys, if something happens, like who would we even call if it happens? Because we don't know who your family is, especially if you're traveling with strangers that you don't know their family. With friends, I know, okay, I've got my friend's sister's number, then I can call them. But yeah, with strangers, that's very, very important. Like, have your next of kin even saved on your phones just in case of an emergency.
Yeah, but you know, even with friends, like how many friends do you have whose next of kin details you know? Like, it's like we've been friends with people for so long, and then you know their family, you know where they stay, but like you don't have a contact number. You
don't have a number.
Go and drive there or find them on Facebook.
On Facebook, and then send a message, and they don't check their Facebook. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so anyway, it's very important.
Just something important to know. Is there any other app that you use that you find useful when planning your trips or not? You can't think of anything now? I don't know. I can't think. I'm trying to think about
it. Yeah, no, I also can't think of anything extra. So I said, as we mentioned.
Those ones. Do you go and review places that you've been to, like on like your booking.com or TripAdvisor and stuff like that? Is that because you, the reason why I'm asking you is because you said people must always read the reviews. So
yeah.
Why not do you leave the reviews?
I do. On Airbnb, I'm very good with that. I always give reviews. Booking.com as well. But I don't go to TripAdvisor because I think last time I downloaded the app and it's just too much effort. Mm. So, yeah, but it's something that actually helps the other travelers. So I think on TripAdvisor as well, I just need to just make more effort. But, yeah, I do leave reviews. And yeah, always get, because you know the hosts on booking.com or Airbnb, they always rate you as well on visitor you were. And yeah, we always get great reviews from the host as well. So yeah,
this is one area that I definitely need to improve on, because I do it on Airbnb because I want to see what they wrote about me. So, and you can't see unless you review them, right? But yeah, you can't see their review unless you do your review. So if you haven't done it, they will send you and the Airbnb will annoy you. They will send you reminders.
Yeah, they will remind
like,
you.
Like, please remember. Mm. So yeah. I need to be a bit more. I need to do it a bit more and give feedback because I rely on that feedback to make my decision about going to places. Like if I go for an activity, you saw on Saturday we went for a trip, what's Untouched Adventures. We were doing that kayak and Lilo experience, and they were busy telling everyone about, you know, go review us. And actually, how will people know that it is a nice activity
nice
if we don't go and talk about it? So I think that's definitely one thing that I will definitely try and do more of for all the places that I visit.
And I'm also wary of people that have zero reviews because are you even real? Because we once had an experience where we were conned. And thinking back, I was sold on the pictures that were presented of this place, and excited, and the price looked a bit too good to be true, and I was like, and from my end, there's a red flag that went off, you know, and I made sure that I did my checks, you know, like if you go on Truecaller, does the number register as this establishment, you know, things like that. But there were no reviews looking back, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe that's what happened. So if there's no reviews and the place looks lovely, but no one is reviewing it and no one is liking it, then I'm like, okay, next, you know, I don't even look at that place twice.
Yeah, and can you imagine then if there are no reviews because people just didn't bother to review and not because the place was not nice? So. It just talks to the importance of doing those reviews. So, all right. Have you ever had any horror stories where you were like, yo, this was the worst experience ever during a group trip? Or there was drama?
Yeah, I think I'm very good at just avoiding a conflict. It's a good or bad thing, but I know that there's people that I would never travel with because I'm just like, okay, if you were not there, my trip would have been 100, but it would have been 80, you know? So, yeah, it's just like I said, if you're going to join a group travel, you just need to know yourself. And if you're a person that complains a lot, I don't want in your space. And if you see wrong thing, then that's a problem, you know. Yeah, like you just always focus on the negative, like happy-go-lucky person. There might be drama in the trip, but I'll just decide to focus on the highlights of the trip and not dwell on the negative stuff that we, you know, could have experienced. So if you're that type of person as well, that you're like a Debbie Downer, travels if you're a Debbie Downer, you know. So it's just that.
I think I also I've had experiences that were not great where you like you are on a trip for however long and you're not talking to one person for a couple of days.
Imagine.
You're not talking one or two people for however long, and then it does happen, and it's like you know, we can't always agree as people, but I also have, you know, people that I'm like, okay, it's fine. You know, we are on a trip. I don't like this. I don't like that. But I'm not going to confront you about it. But all I know, like you're saying, I'm never, ever, ever, ever traveling with you again. Yeah. So there are people that do things and you're just like, okay, this I cannot do. So I'm never going to travel with this person again. And you leave it there, because it doesn't help for you to go and fight a person for who they are and the things that they do. This is just who they are. Accept them, but just let them travel with other people if they want to travel, but not you, because you're not about that energy.
Also better to maybe just, like you say, you can't confront them on the trip. So maybe after the trip, you just like say, okay, when our group travels are not for you, because the kind of you have.
I don't have the guts to go and tell
you. I know.
I'd rather leave you alone.
Like, girl, you suck. Really? You can't do that.
No.
Like, you spoiled my trip, so never inviting you again. No, thank you.
Yeah.
I know, it's tough. It's a tough conversation.
It is. And, you know, sometimes also, like, you're just in a bad mood and during a trip and you don't want to talk to people. So I think the best thing there is to just find, just, I don't know, because also the thing about it is, if you're not feeling well or maybe something is bothering you and you don't want to talk to people, do you just go and close yourself in your room or go do your own thing? But how do you do that without making people feel bad about you just taking time out? I don't know.
I think just be honest, hey, and just say, guys, I'm not feeling very people-y today, so please don't feel bad that I'm locking myself up. Just continue to enjoy yourself. Because some people like me who, as much as I'm on a holiday, but I just want to know that people are okay, you know? So all of a sudden, when you are not with the group or you're in your room and you're locked up now, it's like, I'm okay. You know, you don't want that. So I think also as the traveler, just be open with the group. If on that day you're not feeling okay, then communicate. You don't have to give us details, and you know, we'll give you a space. Because also, as much as the group travel, sometimes you just need, you know, space to be on your own and just be with your thoughts, because it's also a holiday. You just also want to take a bit of a rest and
absolutely. No, I actually quite like that. Just be open with everyone so they can leave you alone without feeling bad.
And also, we're dealing with a lot, hey? People are dealing with it, and maybe that holiday was a way of them of getting away from something, and we mustn't now be always in people's faces. But as long as you communicate to the rest of the group, which is, let's come again. I'm just not feeling like being part of the group today. I just need some time out. Then we're good.
Good to go. All right. And then one thing that I forgot to ask you earlier is about how do you get commitment for the trip to avoid people dropping off? Because I think that's the biggest thing. We are all excited. Let's go. And then there's a point where people just drop off. How do you get people to commit to a trip?
Yeah, so I think it's people fall off because of finances, first of all. So I think if you haven't traveled with the same people, so rather have like open a savings account, like I said, or a group stock file. Then that way, when it's time to travel, there's already money set aside. Then you can decide with that money. Because we all know, you start a trip and six people are excited, and then when you go, there's only two of you, you know. So there needs to be some type of commitment, and unfortunately, people don't commit. Don't cancel your trip because people are falling off, you know. I've called a lot of friends because of that, and they haven't traveled because they always say, but my friends are not serious. Then start a savings thing, you know, and so that, I mean, something as small as 500 rand a month, for 10 months, that's 5,000 rand that you've saved. And if that's 20K, there's so much you can do with 20K. You know, right, guys, end of the year, let's do something, let's go somewhere. So imagine if you are able or lucky enough to save more, then you can do more. So yeah, just maybe have a friend's Stockfell account or his account, and then you know that every month you just pop in money in there. Sometimes we're not as disciplined to have savings because, like I said earlier, you then something comes up and then you use that money for something else, and then your plans are gone. So yeah, man, just save, just little things that you can cut down on.
And I think save. And just plan. Yeah, couldn't. I think for me, it's if I'm planning a group trip next year, I'm literally going to ask people to pay a deposit. A non-refundable deposit also, especially if it's like I'm the organizer, because it's time and effort to research and plan and put things together and coordinate. Like managing a WhatsApp
group is a lot of work.
Tiring. So like non-refundable deposit, it's fine, you can cancel, but you put this deposit so that I can include you in the planning process and so on. So that helps. So even if people drop off, like they think hard about dropping off because they've already paid like a deposit, maybe like R1,000 or whatever amount it is. So what happens to the WhatsApp groups after the trip? Because I'm in a lot of WhatsApp groups. Off trip WhatsApp groups.
I'm actually gonna go be silly. So I was like, I don't know how many groups I've Lelo. I'm like, just leave, child.
Exactly. He says leaving is
rude. Baby hurt.
So do you stay? You stay in all the WhatsApp groups, you don't leave.
Okay, so mostly I do leave, but it's always a okay, guys, thank you, it was great. We're gonna close this group, da da da. And then everybody's you know. But then in some groups you find that you enjoyed each other so much, you still have the same interests, and you're probably planning to take another trip in the future. So you just sit there, and whenever this comes, then it comes up. But if you're gonna be sending memes and other things, then it becomes too much. So if you just sit there and you only communicate anything that's related to maybe another or traveling or place I went to, da da da, then you can leave the group, not leave, but let it sit there if you're still chatting about the same interests. But don't be afraid to leave, but say your goodbyes, don't just out.
I haven't left any of the groups because I created them. Because I also, like you're saying, sometimes you connect so much with these people and you already talked about, when is the next one? When is the next one? You know? So, and my problem now is I've got all these groups and they're all asking when is the next one. So I'm like, okay, do I go with each of these groups or do I combine? But I think now I'm going to start combining because I can't plan different
groups. Why are they going again? And now it's worse because people are like, but Lelo, you said you were gonna send it to people. So I feel sorry for you.
It's actually not easy. So not. Now there's COVID. How do we travel safely as a group during COVID?
Do we even know if we are traveling? That's question number one. This thing. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you were saying?
No, I was just saying, I think now that we are all getting vaxxed, I think the best way is actually to ask people to rather travel with people that are vaccinated and when you're planning your trip. And it actually might need people to, guys, we're going to be planning this trip because we're leaving the country, particularly if we're leaving the country. Are you vaccinated? We're only traveling together if we're all vaccinated, because then you know, even if people, you know, get the virus, then they're not going to be like super sick and everything else, because it's really scary. So I think that would be, you know, one of the things. But beyond saying because you can't even social distance if you're all traveling in a group, because you're going to be eating together and sitting together in the plane and all of that. But generally it's about, you know, where you are traveling to, just, you know, observing the rules, wearing masks and so on. Beyond that, I'm not sure how else do you travel safely beyond just sticking to the protocols and maybe just checking if everybody that's traveling is vaccinated?
Yeah, I think the nice thing about, for example, if you're going to be traveling overseas, that whole you need to get tested before, like 72 hours before you leave. And already, if you're in a group, then you know that, okay, if we all tested negative, then, okay, we're safe to socialize.
Yeah.
And looking at the requirements that the country you're going to have. So if you have to produce a vaccine certificate, then obviously you have to be vaccinated, you know, and all the other requirements they want you to go through before you enter their country. Mm-hmm. And but most of all, it's literally just being on high alert because this thing is so unpredictable, man.
It is.
We could all be safe and we could all be vaccinated. And I mean, in a plane, you have to eat, then you take, but you're in a plane. You know, it's stressful times.
It's just really stressful times.
Yeah.
And Oksala, we are not staying home, Shane.
No, guys. We need to, you know, like, what did it help the economy?
Yeah, no. We stayed home last year. No.
We stayed home enough. And I think that's one of the reasons why, like I said, my friends and I are planning an end of year trip. And I think we took too long to decide this year because also you're just like, traveling in December, will the country be open?
Yeah.
You know, commit and then have to cancel. Mm. Like, people going back and forth and just being extra careful about making a commitment only to cancel at a later stage, you know?
Yeah.
Or you just, yeah, just, there were a lot of places that were fully booked. Like, I had a wish list on my Airbnb of places to go to. By the time we had decided, okay, guys, let's book a place for December around October, all my wish list places were sold out. I was
wow.
Just want to be out. Like, people were like, listen, we're booking early this year.
Mm.
We had December, like, last year. Like, all places were sold out. So it's been difficult to find, like, a nice place that we would have loved to go to. So now we have to kind of settle, you know.
Mm.
It's because of COVID restrictions and traveling.
Yeah, I will be, besides the trip that we are doing in the middle of December, I won't be traveling outside, or I'm not planning any other trip because I will be working throughout December. I will definitely go home for Christmas. Interprovincial travel is allowed. But beyond that, I don't have any other trip. So New Year's Eve, when you and your friends are busy celebrating, me, I will be at home watching TV.
You can come share my room.
Yeah, I don't even know what day is the 31st. Like, is it like
it's on a Saturday? Can you believe it? So boring. This
wow.
Year. Saturday and New Year on a Sunday. So
like I will definitely be at home then. I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, wow.
All right, Lerato. Thank you so much, man. This is so cool. I think we've shared a lot, on group travel from our experience. So
yeah,
I guess people
for the 10-year experience. This
yeah,
could be on a CV. I've got experience at group travel.
Why it's a game. It's a good skill. It's a good skill. And
it's a good skill, right?
Definitely. I'm really looking forward to hearing from, you know, some of my listeners in terms of their experience and anything that they think we left out in terms of, you know, tips that will help for anyone planning group travel. But yeah, thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate that you made the time, and thanks for sharing all these amazing tips.
Thank you. I guess it's all, we're wrapping up, it's end of the year, you know, like it's been a great year, and thank you for always including me in your trips and inviting me to your podcast.
Yay. I think my listeners like
it. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Next year, invite me for a podcast on vacations, okay?
Hey, manifestation! Because I have never spoken to anyone on this podcast about a vacation, so you will be the girl.
There we go.
The girl. Yeah. All right.
Let me go find that partner.
All right. Good luck. Thank you, Lerato.
Thanks, friend.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Chica Travel was proudly sponsored by Flight Center. Life happened, let's travel. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We will catch up again next week. But in the meantime, if you listen on Apple, please leave a review and comment. It helps other people find the podcast as well if you do that. So I appreciate that very much. And also, you can find us on social media @ChicaTravelPod, #ChicaTravelPod. Until next week, goodbye.